Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the heart of liberal Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Best friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Now here are your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are sliding into the 4 o'clock Monday happy hour. I know the Monday one sucks, but we'll make it fun. We got a fine guest. He joins us right now live via Zoom. He is Batman, Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, welcome back to the big show.
Thanks for having me back on, Crudy. Good to see you and Dom. How are you guys doing?
Good, hanging in there, man. Hanging in there.
Thanks for being patient. Tried to get you on last week. Apparently, some impeachment got in the way. So thanks for coming around, Matt. We always appreciate it.
Well, in the meantime, Matt, you've written a piece. I found it published at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. You called it The Lessons. Let me make sure I get this right. The Lessons of Impeachment. And here's something I learned from your article. You don't believe in calling it an insurrection. And something that might surprise you, Dominic's buddy Ron Johnson went on Righty Whitey Talk Radio earlier today and said he didn't believe there was any sort of armed insurrection at the Capitol. Apparently, they didn't bring enough guns, Matt.
Yeah, I heard that audio, you know.
And, so you and Rojo have that in common, question mark?
No, we're coming from opposite ends of the extreme on that. I mean, you know, certainly it was a violent mob. Now, you can call it an insurrection if you want. I don't like using the term insurrection because insurrection is value neutral to my ears, and sometimes it carries a positive connotation, like a slave insurrection. But to me, this was a fascist coup attempt, and this was a fascist mob. And I think we should talk about it in those terms, because those, to me, are the more accurate terms. These were people flying Confederate flags. These were the Proud Boys who are terribly anti-Semitic. These were a guy, you know, this was a guy with a Camp Auschwitz t-shirt. You know, these weren't just people who wanted to support Trump. They were much more than that. And they had a different color to them. And so let's not gloss over that at all. And I did hear Ron Johnson. I mean, Johnson is so far out to sea on this one, it's not even funny. He can't find land if you know he had a GPS and a radar and a couple homing pigeons on board. So I mean, he's just lost here, and he's ignoring what actually happened, and he's trying to deflect in every possible way. Oh, they didn't have enough weapons. You know, tell the cops that who are getting beat the crap out of by people with American flags and with sharp poles and sticks. I mean, you know, I don't know how much worse he wanted it to get before he was going to say that this was an armed mob that was, you know, he keeps minimizing what happened. There's no doubt about it. And then he keeps deflecting. You know, he keeps talking about Hillary Clinton like he did on that radio show. Or, you know, he keeps talking about Nancy Pelosi like she was responsible for this fascist mob that was coming to hang her. Along with Pence. So, you know, he can shuck and jive all he wants, but the truth of the matter is this was a violent mob. We all saw the violence of the mob, and it was a far, far right mob, I call fascist mob, that wanted to overturn democracy. That's what fascist mobs do.
Well, you know, it's sort of a shame that Rojo doesn't have gavel or subpoena power any longer with his ISGAC committee, because, you know, he's dying to answer the question, what Nancy Pelosi knew and when did she know it, Matt? I mean, talk about deflection. This goes beyond deflection. I realize Nancy Pelosi, a public figure, but this is downright defamatory.
Defamatory. It's just, you know, he's a poor man, Joe McCarthy. I mean, you know, he's an poor imitation Joe McCarthy. He's making all these allegations with no evidence whatsoever, just to deflect and score political points with his right-wing friends. It's really deplorable, but it's not surprising.
Matt, to what end? To what end? I mean, what's the upside of shilling for Trump? The guy's the former president, twice impeached, in exile at Mar-a-Lago. Why are you sucking up to this guy? I mean, what is the political game to be won here?
Well, if you listen to Ron Johnson and if you listen to Lindsey Graham, they think Trump is a help for them. They think Trump is going to help them win. I mean, Lindsey Graham was saying yesterday, you know, I want to be a winner. You know, Ron Johnson thinks that, you know, having Trump as head of the Republican Party is a plus for them, even though it was disastrous in Georgia just last month. It was disastrous on Election Day for himself, but that's where they're at. And it was interesting that Ron Johnson audio, you know, it sounded like Ron wanted to get rid of Mitch McConnell, that he was outraged at Mitch McConnell. I was outraged at Mitch McConnell for being a hypocrite and a spineless bastard. But he was outraged at Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell dared to tell the truth that, you know, Trump was engaging in disgraceful dereliction of duty and was uttering the big lie over and over again and was morally responsible for what happened on January 6th. So I think there's an effort among some Republican senators to dump Mitch into the ditch.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Batman, he is Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, joining us via the Zoom. Matt Johnson said, as to the merits of the impeachment case, I'm sorry, you said this, and you quote Johnson, the president's lawyers blew the House manager case out of the water. They legally eviscerated them. No, man, I'm no attorney, but that's not what I took away from that. But I did watch most of it. My understanding, the senator from Wisconsin was absent for a chunk of that trial. Matt, obviously you disagree with the senator from Wisconsin on the impeachment case. What do you make of the legal arguments defending the president?
Oh, they were incredibly weak. I mean, the team that Jamie Raskin put together there on the House side just made mincemeat of the legal arguments on the other side. And, you know, Ron Johnson was just either gullible as all get out or just, you know, saying that he believed that the lawyers on Trump's side did a great job just to give himself some cover and a little fig leaf himself. So, you know, I thought, you know, the only people who think that Trump's lawyers did a great job, much less eviscerated the other side, are people you hear on right-wing talk radio, like the guy who was interviewing Ron Johnson earlier today, or Sean Hannity on Fox. I mean, I think most people who are watching that presentation that Jamie Raskin and the other folks from the House put on, if you had any objectivity, you had to conclude that this guy is just guilty of sin.
Well, man, it didn't take the fact-checkers long. Ron Johnson's already been rated pants on fire. The headline here at the Journal Sentinel, PolitiFact, Wisconsin. Yes, Ron Johnson, January 6th assault was an armed insurrection.
Yeah, well, he just didn't want to admit that they were, you know, had enough guns for him or enough weapons. They were using anything they could find as a weapon. And, you know, ended up killing a police officer and wounding a whole bunch of police officers.
Matt, I mean, it was predetermined to such a degree that those defense attorneys could have gone in there, taken a dump on the Senate floor, and Donald Trump still would have been acquitted in this case, to my belief, Matt.
I'm pretty sure one of them did.
Well, certainly, rhetorically, perhaps, their arguments were pretty bad. But, Matt, so where do we go from here? I mean, how do you see this playing out politically? For this country. I mean, obviously, we saw the Republicans stick together, as it were, and then right after the vote, as mentioned, McConnell comes out and eviscerates Trump for all the obvious things that he did, but, you know, use the caveat that, you know, the Senate, not the right jurisdiction, and then mentions now of a commission, a report to be commissioned by the Congress and investigations. How do you think, how would you like to see this play out, Matt?
Well, I'd like to see Trump hauled into court all over the country, both by attorney generals, district attorneys, and by civil plaintiffs, and just tied up in knots and ultimately convicted and gone to jail. That's what I think should happen to Trump. But that's a fantasy. My crystal ball is saying that Trump is still head of the Republican Party. And I still think that the Republican Party is in a fight for its life, and Trump might win that fight. Trump and Lindsey Graham and Ron Johnson, they may be on the winning edge, and Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell may be on the losing side. So then we're going to have one of our two political parties to be a far right kind of a fascist party, racist party, even more than it is now. And that's a terrible thing for our democracy. And I also think the grassroots far right movement is feeling emboldened today after the vote on Saturday. And that's horrible for our democracy, too.
My understanding, Matt, the Patriot Party has been created here in the great state of Wisconsin in the city of Milwaukee. Do you see the possibility of the what's left of the GOP splintering into different factions, not just within the GOP itself, but literally separate political parties?
Yes, it might. And, you know, I think a lot of Democrats are rubbing their hands together, hoping that would. But even if that happens, I'm not sure that's a great thing, too, for the body politic, just to have an overtly fascist party gaining support or holding down some support, 5-10% support in this country, and then spreading their message loud and clear every time there's an election. That wouldn't be great for us either. And I want to see a crackdown on militias. You know, I want Josh Call to start hauling people who are in militias in Wisconsin into court.
What, threatening the governor from the state of Michigan? I mean, you know, and doing training exercises here in the state of Wisconsin? I mean, they're just exercising their constitutional rights, right, Matt? I mean, that's what they think. And this is what bothers me, the hijacking of the term patriot. You know, every person there thought they were a patriot. They're calling each other patriots. I mean, the lady, the real estate lady, Jenna Ryan from Texas, was all upset that none of her fellow patriots were coming to her defense. I mean, they have overtaken this word, and they seem to believe that they have some righteous duty to patriotism here that nobody else has, and they are the only ones that can follow through and show that patriotism. Matt, it certainly is concerning for the civil discourse as we move forward in this country.
Yeah, I mean, they've hijacked the term patriot, and you know, we shouldn't let them get away with it. But, you know, the Mitch McConnells and Ron Johnsons have a lot to pay for that.
Hey, man, you got a few more minutes for us? We'd like you to stick around.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Come back with us. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Matt Rothschild. We call him Batman. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, the vigilante of good governance. He'll be back. You'll be back. More Devil's Advocates will be back.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you so much for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Matt Rothschild, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, sticking around. Matt, thank you for doing so. The 420 break, man, I got to ask you. You wrote a piece last week I saw, caught my eye, that Wisconsin's late to the pot party, man. But Kurt and I have been hosting this thing for decades. What do you mean, Matt?
Yeah, I should have given you guys a shout out too. Sorry about that. I gave Melissa Agard a shout out. She's been great on this issue for a long time. And I also saluted Ben Mazel, the old, now gone 10 years, but who campaigned his whole adult life to legalize marijuana here in Wisconsin and was a great old trickster with a wonderful smile and smirk. So I wanted to say hello to him in that piece. But yeah, I mean, you know, all these other states are way ahead of us in this legalization of marijuana effort. And finally, Tony Evers came on board. I mean, 2 years ago, he just wanted to legalize medical marijuana. Now he wants to legalize recreational. And that's a great thing. Now you've got all these troglodytes in the Republican legislature aren't going to make it happen, but it's a good, at least he's proposing it.
Speaking of troglodytes, I saw Mark Bourne, a Republican, I believe he's the assembly chair of the Joint Finance Committee, said no way in hell we're seeing legalized marijuana. They're going to strip it from the budget. Above and beyond that, Mark Bourne said no way in hell will we see Medicaid expansion. You know, because giving health care to people during a pandemic would be a massive expansion of welfare, Matt. I don't know if you saw the interview, but, you know, it's like you're filling budgetary holes.
Right. I mean, two huge examples of how our democracy does not work. We have a crisis of representation in this state. the people are not getting what they want. The people want medical marijuana by 80% or more. They want recreational marijuana by 60% or more. They want expansion of Medicaid by 80% or more. They want increase of the wage, like you were talking about last time, to a living wage, $15 an hour, by more than 50%. And this stuff just doesn't happen. Why don't the people get what they want in the state? It's because primarily of two things: gerrymandering and money in politics. The Republicans have rigged both the maps and they've rigged the campaign finance laws so that they have just a huge advantage over their Democrats, and then they don't have to listen to a lot of their constituents because they're in safe seats. So we're not getting what we want. We're supposed to get what we want in a democracy.
Matt, we've got a redistricting coming, and this one the Republicans will make every effort, but let's hope Tony Evers vetoes perhaps districts drawn by the courts. Matt, do you think that gives the Democrats a fair fight legislatively to win back majorities? I've noted for the first time, although Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin, so did Assembly Dems substantially. They were down like 55-45, and that has not been the case recently. Is that a reflection of gerrymandering, or are Democrats truly moving into the minority?
Well, Democrats were able to gain two seats in the Assembly, which was surprising given the rigged map. So I'm not writing the Democrats off by any stretch. I also think that we are going to end up with fairer maps this year than we got in 2011, because we have a Democratic governor who's going to veto the rigged maps, as you're suggesting, and it's going to go into the courts. And I think even if it goes to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, it's not a slam dunk for Republicans anymore, because you got Justice Jill Karofsky there. So it's a 4-3 conservative majority, but Brian Hagedorn's independent, essentially. And a lot of big cases, he doesn't side with the Republicans. So they're not guaranteed to get what they want anymore, which is a good thing.
Matt, during the most recent elective cycle, we had a few candidates that violated campaign finance laws, one on the good team, one on the other team. Let's start with Scotty Fitzgerald. Apparently, he was the greatest violator, about $3,600 he took in excess of acceptable campaign finance limits. Matt, shouldn't come as a shocker. Scott Fitzgerald, any comments?
It's a classic case of Scott Fitzgerald's character. I mean, we exposed this. My colleague Mike Bulow, our research director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, exposed this, that Fitzgerald entered into a settlement last October with the Wisconsin Ethics Committee because of two violations alleged. One was his own campaign reelection committee that it took more money than was allowed from four individuals and three PACs. And the other was a committee he ran, the committee to elect a Republican Senate, that did not segregate $1,800 that they got from corporations that they were supposed to segregate. Of course, corporations weren't allowed to give to such committees until Fitzgerald decided to rewrite the campaign finance law back in 2015. So not only did he rig the rules, he didn't even obey by his own rigged rules.
Now, Mandela Barnes, also the lieutenant governor, Democrat, he got caught up in this. Apparently, he took an in-kind donation in excess of acceptable dollars, and he said it was a clerical error. I have spoken to Mandela about this. He minimizes. Do you think it's a big deal, Matt?
You know, I don't like it when anyone doesn't, abide by the campaign finance rules. They're not that hard. They're right there in black and white, and everybody should abide by them. I saw Dan Bice break this story, and he said, you know, if Mandela Barnes wants to climb the ladder of politics in Wisconsin, he's got to get his ducks in a row, and I agree with that.
Matt, we also saw a recent article about a lot of the billionaires here, well, a few of the billionaires, spending lots and lots of money. Before, we got about 90 seconds left. Matt, any thoughts on New Lines and the widow Hendricks?
Yeah, I heard Luke talk about that in the news break, and it's really disgraceful that the E-Lines gave money to the Tea Party Patriots that sponsored the January 6th thing. And, you know, I think we need to boycott U-Line Corporation. I think we need to boycott ABC Supply. You know, these companies need to start facing some consequences for their funneling kajillion dollars to the far right movement in America. It's disgraceful.
Matt, you know, Ron Johnson's got some corporate donors as well. Do you think it's appropriate to pressure them, or will that pull all the money out, the Baldwin money, the Tony Evers money as well?
Well, I think we as citizens need to put as much nonviolent pressure on these candidates who are acting to embolden the far right as we can, and to put pressure on the corporations themselves. If we can get to donors, let's get to the donors and say, why are you supporting this guy? Or why are you supporting this far right movement?
He's Batman. He is the vigilante of good governance. He's our friend, Matt Rothschild, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, always appreciate when you come around, man. Thanks for being flexible.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure. Take care now.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. You too.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Opening up the phone lines for your calls next, 844-967-2789.